This evening's lesson will be coming out of John chapter 10. John chapter 10, we're going to look at verses 11 through 15. Jesus the Good Shepherd. Jesus the Good Shepherd. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15, and I'll go ahead and read that. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep, for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. In this lesson, we're going to understand that we have a good shepherd watching over us. We have a good shepherd that's watching over us. We will also see that we have a loving shepherd. You know, what do we know about shepherds? Well, they tended to the sheep, the flock. They took care of their surroundings. They protected the sheep from harm. And they led the flock to pasture. Well, leaders of the church today, we can think of them as shepherds. We have shepherds in the church today. They watch over our congregation and make sure that we stay on the straight and narrow path. Our shepherds also make sure that we are doctrinally sound. This evening, we're just going to break down these verses here. And number one, we have Jesus, who is the good shepherd. But I wonder, sheep, are we following God's word, or are we aware of false doctrine? Even within the church today, we know that it's out there. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. And this is Paul talking to Timothy here. I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to the myths. So we know that there is false doctrine all around us. But we must preach the word with great patience with those who need to be taught the right way of doing things. God is patient with us, so we must practice that same patience. But it's not always easy. But we want, because for us, we want things now. But we need to be patient with God as God is patient with us. Number two, I am the good shepherd, and he lays down his life for the sheep. Well, we know that Jesus paid the ultimate sacrifice for all mankind by dying on the cross. His blood that he shed frees us from sin. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 10. The Bible reads, this is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then verse 10, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Also, if we go to Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 7. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Verse 5, if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. You know, Jesus' blood continually cleanses us if we truly repent and change our ways. We must be truthful. We must be truthful with God and ourselves. Because none of us are perfect. None of us are perfect. We all fall short of the glory of God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So if Jesus laid down his life for us, then what do we need to do? Well, we must follow his example. We must follow his example. Love has a lot to do with Christianity. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 14. And this is Jesus talking to the disciples. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Jesus sacrificed himself for all of us. So how can we lay down our lives for our friends? Well, first thing is taking care of needs for others. Taking care of needs for others. You know, we must give of ourselves and we must give to those around us. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10. Galatians 6 and verse 10. So then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who are of the household of faith. So how does it make you feel to do something for someone else? Well, normally it makes us feel good. Normally it makes us feel good about ourselves. But we never know the impact that we may have. It might brighten up a person's day. You know, we never know the impact of doing something for someone else. You know, they see that example that we display, it might make them want to question their spiritual life. Like maybe even obeying the gospel. So we never know the impact that we're going to have. We just need to remember that we shouldn't take the glory in things when we do for others, because the glory goes to God. The glory goes to God. Let's talk about the hired hand in John chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. Let's talk about the hired hand there. And I'll read that verse again. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. Are we like the hired hand at times? Do we run when we see trouble coming? You know, we know things need to be addressed in the church. You know, we need to let the scriptures speak for themselves. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, and this would be a great place to start. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. You know, some things go on that must be corrected. I don't know about you, but I would rather be corrected than be doing something that's wrong. And we need to, you know, sometimes we can say that we revert back to our childhood days. You know, none of us like to be corrected, but most of us, you know, we don't like to be corrected, or we didn't like discipline. But in the long run, we know that we are better people for it now. We didn't see the problem in it then, but it helped us be better people. But we need to know that it's okay to be corrected. It is okay to be corrected. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. The Bible reads, "But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the master who brought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves." So we must be aware of false teachers and make sure what they are teaching lines up with what the Bible says. You know, what things are creeping in the church today? And just a few things are mentioned here that I'm talking about here. Instrumental music, that's always an issue. Praise teams, praise dancing, many other things that are creeping in within the church today. But what we need to understand is each congregation will be held accountable for their doctrine. You know, if false teachers come in, we need to let them know that they need to be preaching the truth and not their own teachings. So many get caught up in doing things their own way, even if it's against the scriptures. You know, we need to be God pleasers and not people pleasers. And why is that? And why do people try to please themselves? Well, they're only rebelling against God. They're rebelling against God. We know that judgment is coming one day. Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read a few verses there in Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 33 to start out with. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 33. But when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Verse 33. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on the left. Now, if we go down to verse 40. Verse 40. 40 and 41. The king will answer and say to them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels." Now if we go on down to verses 45 and 46. Then he will answer them, "Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." So we should want to be found righteous. If we are in Christ and striving to live faithfully, then we should have no doubt where we will spend eternity. We should have confidence in knowing that. You know, the wolf is also discussed. The wolf is discussed would mean Satan. He's always at work. We know that Satan's at work. And how does Satan manipulate us to sin? Well, just like he did with Eve. He entices us. He lies in John chapter 8 and verse 44. John chapter 8 and verse 44. "You are the father of the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies." So why do many people listen to him? What does he have to offer? What does Satan have to offer? Well, Satan makes things fun, sound fun, and look fun. But it will, in the end, it can lead us to destruction if we are not careful. We know the truth because it has been given to us. It is up to us to abide by the truth. In John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. John 8, 31 and 32. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in him, "If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." There are things that we must do, and we can't deviate from the truth. Many others try to do what they want to do, even if it's against the scriptures. If we want to be lights in the world, we must be different. We must be set apart. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." You know, we can't allow our Bibles to collect dust on our shelves. We need daily Bible study to get that renewed mind. Each day, we must strive to be closer to God than we were the day before. We know that the world tries to tell us how to live, but we must change the world and not let the world change us. 1 John chapter 3, verses 13, 15, and 16. 1 John chapter 3, verses 13, 15, and 16. Do not be surprised, brethren, if the world hates you. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That is the kind of love we need to have for one another. Now, let's talk about our relationship to the Father. Jesus knows his own sheep. Does he recognize us when we sin? No, he does not. Only if we truly repent. But we shouldn't jeopardize Jesus not knowing us as sheep, as his sheep. Jesus reassures us that he is the good shepherd. He lets us know that he was willing to die on the cross for all, so they could be saved from sin. So we could be saved from sin. He was willing to do that. We are under the better covenant. The old law served its purpose. The key thing is obedience. Jesus did the will of his Father, and that was in God's plan. Why things happen? You know, many times we don't understand God's plan, you know, and why things happen. One of these days, all of our questions will be answered. All of our questions that we have will be answered. Doubt is something we all deal with sometimes, but we must fully trust that God has the better plan for each and every one of us. He's got the better plan. We can be forever grateful for God and his guidance through the Scriptures. It's great to know that we have a Heavenly Father who hears our prayers. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 29. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayers of the righteous. If we are practicing things that are evil, then we better change our ways so our prayers can be heard. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. And this is the choosing of the 12. It was at this time that he went off to the mountain to pray, and he spent the whole night in prayer to God. He wanted the right men for the job. He wanted the right men for the job, so he prayed all night about this decision. How often do we go to bed with things on our mind that we ought to pray about? How often do we do that? 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Why do we have trouble doing this? Well, because we think God might have too much on his plate. We must put our full trust that God will see us through in our deepest, darkest days. May our relationship to God be strengthened each and every day. You know, the Bereans studied daily, and we need to have that type of attitude. We are, now this evening, like I say, we have steps of salvation that we must follow. We are to hear the word, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Then we must believe. We are to believe in Jesus Christ as the Son of God. John chapter 8 and verse 24. Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And then we must repent of our sins. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Then we must confess. We must confess the name of Christ. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Therefore, everyone who confesses me before men, I will also confess him before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. And then we must be baptized into Christ. Mark 16 and verse 16. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who disbelieved shall be condemned. And then we must be faithful. We must be faithful until death. Revelation 2 and verse 10. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast you, some of you into prison so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Now I want to close this evening in Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, and we'll read the whole psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You have anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The question is, have you given your life to the Good Shepherd? Have you given your life to the Good Shepherd, or are you still out with the wolves? Well, this evening, the choice is yours. If you haven't become a child of God, haven't put Christ on in baptism, or if you are a Christian and are struggling in your daily walk with God, whatever your need is, go ahead and make it be made known as we stand in